Today on Compassion Radio.
What really is the cost of discipleship in our generation?
In many countries, it is the loss of everything that you hold dear. In other words, to flee your country because of persecution means that your whole life is, the next 25 years, is going to be absorbed in trying to get back on your feet. That's a cost that most people in our country would certainly not relish, and many would not be willing to do. So that's one thing. The persecution may be infrequent, but it's increasing in frequency, and it's real.
We've all read or heard the accounts of Christians being beaten, tortured, and murdered for their faith. But that was way back in Bible times, right? That sort of thing isn't still going on in our modern world, is it? Sadly, the answer is yes, and in some ways, it's worse than ever before. Hello, and welcome to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. Today, our guest Jim Jennings of Conscience International says that we must never give up on trying to help our brothers and sisters, and that if we'll simply ask God to show us how we can help, He will make a way for us to do just that. This is Frank Montenegro, inviting you to stay with us for the final part of Bram's recent talk with Dr. Jim Jennings.
Joining us on the program again today is our dear friend and a mentor of mine and a great friend to the ministry over the years and personally to Norman Shearer Nelson, Dr. James Jennings of Conscience International. Welcome back, sir.
Thank you, Bram. Let me first say that Norm Nelson, the founder of this program, Compassion Radio, and I worked together in Sudan many times, and we found that at one point, believe it or not, at 3 a.m., we were kicked out of the country. We came back, they met us with limousines and brass bands and had banquets for us. I mean, and we talked with the top leadership of the country. Its persistence, even in the face of walls and closed doors and all of that. I think the open doors for Christians nowadays are in countries where, A, we can access, B, where we speak the language, C, where there is our church is already established. If you're talking, and that's most of Africa,
okay,
and Latin America as well, where there are many very fervent and zealous Christians in both those continents. I think if you talk about closed doors and needy areas, it's got to be the Middle East, the Muslim world, and there's only a small percentage of the missionary dollar that has ever gone to the Muslim world. People just give up and say that's hopeless, but it's not, and that's not the way the disciples did in the Book of Acts in the New Testament.
Yeah.
Perhaps we could say that China is maybe the greatest opportunity because under the bamboo curtain during those days, before China opened up to the world and changed its economic system, at least, there was no possibility almost. All the missionaries had been driven out and before World War II, and some survived during World War II, but it was closed for a long time, and then it opened. And there's great opportunity there and in the Chinese sphere in Southeast Asia.
When Sandy and I traveled together to China earlier this spring, we were kind of surprised to hear that they were being more vocal about their future plans. Because this time we went through the open door. We actually were invited in on the government level to go see what kind of gospel things were happening in the Three Self Church in China, which had never really been perceived as being very evangelical in the West. But it turns out they have a very strong evangelical element within that organization, and we got to meet those who were actually preaching the gospel with passion and finding ways to get Bibles to people who had never got them before, ever, no matter who had gone in there. But because we were able to go through the open doors that were provided for us, we were able to hear from the mouths of people in government what their next plans were. And they've said quite directly that the public, the acknowledged, the registered church has about 2 years or so before they're going to close down everybody else who is not registered. So the challenge to the registered churches was go find those who are underground and invite them to come out into the light. When they do, we'll give them the same status you have. If they don't, They're going to be considered traitors, and they're going to be pursued as terrorists. So it seems like there's a weird and new kind of carrot and stick being used about the registered and unregistered churches of China. And that means hundreds of millions of people's lives are at stake. And so my guess is that those kind of opportunities that we used to think about working with the unregistered churches may close very solidly and lock out the West for a very long time. And new opportunities might be coming in places they were not expecting them. So I'm kind of concerned myself, Jim, about what's going to come to China in the next 3 to 5 years.
I agree with you, and I think you have to ask, what is the reason for this attitude on the part of the government? It very much parallels what the Roman Empire went through centuries ago, and that is when the church begins to boom and has great success and is burgeoning, and people are being converted and becoming sincere Christians, that challenges the whole foundation of the state, yeah. That is the communist doctrine, and as it was for the pagan Romans. And what they thought held their country together was their pagan belief. And the Christians, and so there was severe persecution, and doors were closed, and people ended up in prison and being killed. And this, I think, is, there has been, you know this very well from your recent trip, an enormous success of the Christian church in China under the terrible conditions.
Yes.
And and so that is a thrilling story. Yeah. And now, how does it develop from here on? I think the answer is your prediction is right. There will be a great period of suppression, and it'd be hard to imagine. It'd be unimaginable the bloody persecution of that that in that country with the great population. But the church will triumph. Now, that's different than in some places where the church has been wiped out. And certainly Central Asia, much of the Middle East, that happened over the last 1,000 years. And it's really the Armenian genocide being one example, yeah. 125 years ago, that left millions of Christians dead. So it's uneven all over the world. And there are opportunities, as you say, open doors, and there are closed doors.
The thing that's kind of interesting for me at this stage in our ministry is that we've always been a responsive organization. We find out where the needs are, we listen to people like you, and then we try to find ways to get people interested and activated to join you in that activist work of being proactive with your faith. It didn't occur to me until this year that we might actually be called to be witnesses to what is to come. And hearing these kind of openness and transparency coming out of communist officials in China, saying it like it is, this is what we are going to do, was a new experience for me. And I think God was letting us in the room for a reason. If nothing else but to be witnesses to what's to come and to be responsible with that information. And we do want to be responsible as God reveals things to us through earthly authorities or through his own spirit. But I'm kind of concerned that we will always in the West keeping a knee-jerk reaction kind of church, where if we're really pushed to it, we'll finally do something. I do believe there are people in every church in this country that are perceptive enough to see what's coming, and they live by the faith that will be revealed later. And I'm hoping we've been able to connect with more of those people along the way, because they're the ones that will make plans. They're the ones that will dream dreams. They're the ones that will set aside resources and be ready for the opportunity when it comes. And I'm just praying that God raises up more of those kind of people in our own country along the way.
Well, we need to have courage in doing that. I remember in Uzbekistan, Central Asia, under the communist regime there, the church had been built, even after great difficulty, they built it. But when they had their communion, I was there to see it. Communion, the people who served the communion, they asked those who wanted to receive communion to stand up in the pews where they were, and they passed them. And so you know that all through the church there are the stooges of the government, or the
yes.
spies, or the secret police, and they're taking down the names of those people who stood saying that I am a disciple of Christ,
yes,
and I will testify to that. And I wonder how many of us, if we knew that the secret police were in the back of the room taking names, and they said, are you a follower of Christ or not, would you stand up, even though it's illegal, unpopular, and forbidden in these churches or countries? If it ever came to that in our country, how many of us would have the courage to say, yes, I follow the Lord Jesus Christ?
I wonder, too. And with the technology going the way it is, understanding that the reason that China, as our example today, is so ready to act on their intentions is because they truly believe that technology is finally in place to track every single human being in their country in real time.
They have that, yes.
So with that capability, they're going to force the question, the big question, are you open or are you hidden? And I do wonder, in the generations to come, what would we really lose if we lost our privacy? Would we not gain something else entirely, which is the ability to say, I have nothing left to lose or have nothing to hide? I can't hide it anywhere.
Right.
So I guess my faith doesn't have to be lived in the open, whether I like it or not. And in that regard, I think that is something that would be very praiseworthy in the New Testament, especially in Revelation, where Jesus talks directly to the churches about where their first love and their first passions are. So perhaps the Lord, in a severe kind of mercy, is preparing our entire world for a time when to be a disciple of Christ is not something that can be obfuscated. It's going to be something that it has to be proclaimed because it simply is, and everyone has to know it.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. The second half of today's conversation is coming up in just a moment.
Hi, friends. Here's a quick update on our growth goals for the rest of 2019. To start with, a big thank you to all who responded to our summer challenge. We've grown our vision team larger than ever, and that means we can focus more on the ministry opportunities that are coming our way. We still have two important goals to reach this year in order to take on some faith-stretching and desperately needed projects in 2020. We'll be sharing a lot more about those in the days to come. The first goal is to grow our vision team by another 200 people. That simply means Compassion Radio becomes part of your regular, faithful mission giving, and at a level that the Lord enables you. I know that gifts of all sizes are exactly what the Lord uses to build His kingdom around the world. If you're on a fixed income or you run a large business, your giving matters to the Lord and to His kingdom servants. Your generosity makes it possible for us to bring you some truly amazing stories and news from the front lines of faith. Think of it this way. Compassion Radio makes it possible for God's courageous people around the world to bring you a daily gift of encouragement and inspiration. We invite you inside the greatest movements of God in the history of Christianity. They're happening right now. Is that worth something to you? I certainly hope so. It's our vision team members that literally keep us going day to day. You can be part of that team. Secondly, we've got a year-end budget challenge of $100,000 that we simply must meet in order to make sure we can continue on the station where you hear this program every day. I'm confident in you and the Lord's provision to make that possible. Our vision team is leading the way on this. If you haven't given in a while, would you consider joining them to meet this special appeal? Friends, thank you so much for taking the special appeal to heart. We are truly so grateful for you.
To join the Compassion Radio Vision Team, go to CompassionRadio.com. That's CompassionRadio.com.
In every land, to every language and every people. We're always on mission. This is Compassion Radio.
Compassion Radio is here not just to teach the truth, but to provide you with opportunities to do the truth. That's why we've built and supported an orphanage in Hong Kong, provided beds for homeless children in India, counseled street kids in Hollywood, ministered to widows, carried Bibles into China and Vietnam, helped establish churches and provide Bibles in Indonesia, North Korea, and Southeast Asia, provided sight for the blind in Africa, aided refugees from Kosovo, and given tens of thousands of dollars to feed the hungry. Our goal is to teach the word clearly and accurately, always applying that word to building the kingdom. And we invite you to join our family as we learn together, witness together, and serve together. Please go to CompassionRadio.com today to find out more about this ministry. Again, that's CompassionRadio.com.
And now, back to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria.
If we knew that the secret police were in the back of the room taking names, and they said, are you a follower of Christ or not, would you stand up, even though it's illegal, unpopular, and forbidden in these churches or countries? If it ever came to that in our country, how many of us would have the courage to say, yes, I follow the Lord Jesus Christ?
I wonder, too. And with the technology going the way it is, understanding that the reason that China, as our example today, is so ready to act on their intentions is because they truly believe that technology is finally in place to track every single human being in their country in real time.
They have that, yes.
So with that capability, they're going to force the question, the big question, are you open or are you hidden? And I do wonder, in the generations to come, what will we really lose if we lost our privacy? Would we not gain something else entirely, which is the ability to say, I have nothing left to lose or have nothing to hide? I can't hide it anywhere.
Right.
So I guess my faith doesn't have to be lived in the open, whether I like it or not. And in that regard, I think that is something that would be very praiseworthy in the New Testament, especially in Revelation, where Jesus talks directly to the churches about where their first love and their first passions are. So perhaps the Lord, in a severe kind of mercy, is preparing our entire world for a time when to be a disciple of Christ is not something that can be obfuscated. It's going to be something that it has to be proclaimed because it simply is, and everyone has to know it. It sounds like dangerous times. It also sounds like kind of a liberating time, too, for the church.
I think you're right about that, about the having nothing to hide and being able to give your testimony, even being forced to give it, as to who you are. Yesterday, I looked at a website that had a Egyptian actor in a TV series that's on TV and fairly popular. And so I wanted to know who this actor is and what his name is. And I clicked on it, and the first line identified so-and-so is a Muslim who is acting in an American TV series. And I thought, now, how many Americans would, if they said so-and-so is an actor or a musician or even an author of books, would the first line of your identity on the internet be so-and-so is a Christian and a writer of books or an actor or a musician? And that, I mean, that positionalized him. He couldn't help but be identified as a Muslim in that situation. But it's something we do to others, but we don't expect others to do to us.
Yeah, that's true.
The Chinese might do it differently.
Well, in this culture, since we have to talk to people who are listening to this program, they're the ones we want to minister to and encourage and challenge and dare to do great things. If you could, for me, Dr. Jennings, just in a few words, describe for us in our culture, what really is the cost of discipleship in our generation?
In many countries, it is the loss of everything that you hold dear. In other words, to flee your country because of persecution means that your whole life is, the next 25 years, is going to be absorbed in trying to get back on your feet. That's a cost that most people in our country would certainly not relish, and many would not be willing to do. So that's one thing. The persecution may be infrequent, but it's increasing in frequency, and it's real. I think that maybe there are more subtle things about that. But we can use our own voice and our own example to go where others are afraid to go or will not go or cannot go, and do what we can and use that as a model for others to not be afraid, because the Lord said, I'm with you always.
Hmm. Well, the cost has a price, and the price to be paid means something is to be gained, because God never has us flush our resources down the toilet for no reason. So I believe that as we invest in his kingdom purposes, that he does not forget that. And if God keeps track of those debts, he pays the debts he owes, and he's happy to pay his children for good work. I'm sure of that. So whether we see it as a transactional thing about giving God what's his, letting him do what he wants with it, or whether we see ourselves as stewards of those things to go along with the resources God gives us and to be part of the solution for things that God allows us to be part of, to be peacemakers, to be chain breakers, to be wound healers, whatever it is, I pray that we'll have more and more opportunity to do that. And you and I together, Jim, that we would be able to be on the field seeing what God's doing and be part of it ourselves more than we ever have before. And as our people make it possible for Compassion Radio to continue and get to the end of 2019 well and start the year right in 2020, I know there's lots of great new projects you have going. And it would be my joy that if God tarries and we're still doing this work, that in 2020 we'll have a chance to go with you and to be part of the solution once again.
I want to thank you and salute you for your companionship, for your sharing the vision, and for your commitment and enthusiasm to doing this kind of work for the kingdom of God.
Thank you, sir. It's an honor to have you with us, and it always will be. So, Dr. James Jennings of Conscience International, you're a great friend to this ministry and a terrific mentor. You really pour the love of Jesus into everything you do, and it's so evident, and I learn from it every time I see it. Godspeed to you, friend. I pray that you'll be able to bring back some great stories for what God's doing, even in places as close as the Bahamas and farther afield at the front lines of all the turmoil in Central America, and of course from Central Africa and all the way across the Middle East. Every time you got a story, you have a place to tell it right here on Compassion Radio.
Thank you, Bram.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. If you missed anything today, well, you can listen again anytime. Just open up your browser on your computer or smartphone or even your tablet and go to CompassionRadio.com. Again, it's CompassionRadio.com. Now, if you liked what you heard, please consider supporting Compassion Radio. First, with your prayers. You know, when you pray for us, God increases the effectiveness of this ministry by empowering the Compassion Radio team for service and by opening doors of opportunity for us to be a blessing to the body of Christ. And now second, would you please share this broadcast with a friend or a loved one? This is going to help us reach as many people as possible with the important work God is doing in the lives of those who live in a missional way. And really, that's all of us, you and I. Finally, please consider supporting this ministry financially. You can give a one-time gift, a semi-regular gift, or you can become a Compassion Radio Vision Team member. And that means a regular monthly gift for the amount of your choosing. You know, this ministry is 100% listener-supported, and that means it's your gifts that make it possible for us to continue. You can support Compassion Radio right now by calling 800-868-2478 or by visiting CompassionRadio.com. That's 800-868-2478 or CompassionRadio.com. You can also text the word compassion to 53445. That's the word compassion to 53445. And of course, you can always mail your gift to Compassion Radio at P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California 92859. That's P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California 92859. And thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy day to listen, spend a little time with us. Be sure to join us again for more Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. This program is sponsored by Compassion Ventures Incorporated and your generous financial support.